Life podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life. Let's do it.
Today, episode 17? Yeah, 17. Being your own advocate.
All right, I am super charged up about this one. You're going to have to
get past the giggles.
Yeah, I had a little case of the giggles, but that's good to bring some positive energy to this because at first I thought maybe we'll call it when something triggers you. And I'm like, nah, that's heavy. And I think the words we use are really important. And so I want to use words like being your own advocate because I think that's really important.
I just had that dumb feeling like when you're not supposed to laugh, like when you're in church, you're supposed to be real serious and quiet. And then that look at you and start getting the giggles going. So,
but do you have your life together?
Yeah, yeah. Once okay. I said that, then it's all out now. I don't have to worry about it.
Okay, good. So, being your own advocate. I have a very strong opinion on what this means and how I have learned to apply it. But before I jump into that and go down my tangent, I'd love to hear from you. If something comes to mind, maybe even outside of what you know I'm going to be talking about.
I have no idea what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, right.
But what first comes to thought for me is just being authentic, being your authentic self, being your own advocate. That's what I would define it as.
Okay. Well, for me in particular.
But please tell me what you would define this. Right.
It's about when it comes to our own well-being and our own health and our decisions that we make for ourselves. It's about not just taking someone else's answer and then saying this is our truth, like to really decide for ourselves what we believe to be true. And I learned this lesson the hard way, and I think that's really the main way to learn a lesson, right? To truly learn a lesson is to have made a mistake. And so for me, especially when it comes to my health and being my own advocate, it comes from my past experience several years ago after having several cysts on my thyroid. I went to the doctor and they said, you know, well, we need to do a biopsy just to rule out that it's anything bad. It's probably just cysts that, you know, or they sometimes can get uncomfortable and whatever. So I had some labs drawn and then it was maybe a couple days later that my doctor called. And I'll never forget, I was standing in the kitchen. You weren't home yet, but the kids are home with me. And I was just leaned up against the stove and the doctor called and she basically said, hey, you know, we got your labs and you have cancer. So the doctor told me this, she dropped the C-bomb right there over the phone. And I remember saying to her, like, does it just say like, call this lady and tell her she has cancer? Does it say like, what are the words? Benign and malignant.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it doesn't say either of those. It actually says it's a follicular neoplasm, which I later wrote down and researched myself. And what I found out was that it was actually a follicular neoplasm means that they can't tell if it's a good guy or a bad guy. And that it essentially is somewhere around 90% probably not cancerous, but there's that 10% chance that it could be. And so it's safest to have it taken out. And so I proceeded with the surgery and then I can't remember if it was the day I came home, the surgeon actually called and said, hey, Sylvia, good news. Just wanted to let you know, got the results from your thyroid and you did not have cancer. There's no cancer. And, you know, part of me was really relieved, like, whew, that's great news. And the other part of me is like, hey, I don't have a thyroid gland anymore. So you took mine and now I get to take medicine the rest of my life. Ooh, deep breath. Better, not bitter, my friends, because it took losing a gland for me to learn to be my own advocate. And now you don't even have to lose a gland, I hope, or any appendage, right? You can just be your own advocate as I sit here today and share with you a couple of things I've learned. One is that there are other tests that could have maybe told me whether or not it was that follicular neoplasm was cancerous, but I didn't know that because I didn't go get a second opinion. So being my own advocate now looks like if I get an answer that doesn't feel like what's right or my truth, then I seek outside advice, other advice, a second opinion. Additionally, I've learned that sometimes, so I basically found out that I was going to need to take thyroid medicine the rest of my life. And I did my research and found that clear as day, the studies showed that, I mean, these are people that were, okay, Deep breath. I'm getting all flustered. Basically, people feel better when they take an NDT more often than when they take a synthetic thyroid medicine. So an NDT is a natural desiccated thyroid, and it actually comes from pig thyroid hormone. So my research showed that people who took the synthetic were continuously complaining of low energy, fatigue, weight gain, all of these issues that a sluggish thyroid can create. And so the synthetic was not serving them. And so I found out, okay, very clearly, NDTs, and there's a couple different brands, Nature Thyroid Armor. There's another one, but I can't remember it. People generally feel better when they take that. So that was me being my own advocate and doing my research. And yet when I would go to any doctor's office that was in our network, you would pay your copay and move on with your life. They said, oh no, we don't prescribe that. And that kind of was a runaround as well. And I said, why is that true? If I weren't my own best advocate, then I would have just settled and said, sure, I'll take the Synthroid or the synthetic version of this thyroid medicine. But I was committed to being my own advocate. And I've been on this medicine for maybe 3 years and have felt really well, like myself. And there were so many people that warned me, like, you're never gonna probably feel like yourself again. And, you know, you'll probably never have quite as much energy, and you'll probably gain weight, and you'll do all these things because you don't have a thyroid. And that just wasn't okay with me. I was like, no, actually I'm not, because I'm my own advocate and I know how to get what I want. And that's where our daughter gets it.
Yes.
By the way. So anyway, that's kind of the long and the short of it, about how I learned that you have to be your own advocate. And there's so many other things that have come up from that, like my journey with antidepressants and weaning off of them and being told, well, if you don't want to take them anymore, just take half of it. And then after a couple of weeks, take another half. And then after a couple of weeks, you can just stop taking it.
And you feel like shit and you go back to them because...
Yeah. And so that's the game I played 4 or 5 times until I was my own advocate. And I did my own research and I found out that that's way too fast for especially a sensitive body to come off of something that your body's become basically addicted to. So, and I'm just a second. I got to say this. Okay. I'm not saying you need to come off your antidepressants. I just knew I wanted to because it was blocking my creative flow, my sexual energy, my emotional energy. I just didn't feel like myself. And so I knew that I didn't want to continue to take them. And so I went down that path. I'd just like to clarify that.
So I hear what you're saying, and I agree with everything you're saying. I agree that you should be your own advocate, but I feel like in our society, they actually push against that. Like, I feel like people think that's selfish. Like, it comes across like you're being selfish, but I think you're supposed to be selfish. I think you're supposed to take care of yourself and be your own advocate. You shouldn't expect someone else to be your advocate.
Right. I think that it comes across, some people think it's selfish, and I also think some people will play you're a little bit ignorant card. Like, you're not a doctor. You didn't spend 8 years in med school. That's a really big trend. Whenever I say, hey, be your own advocate, do your own research, you know, stand up for yourself and what you believe in, follow your intuition. Well, there's so many people that'll say, yeah, like, you know, show me your degree. But it just comes down to nobody knows your body better than you. And 20 minutes in a doctor's office with someone with a white coat, that's not enough time for them to be able to step into your experiences to be able to help you. So,
yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that so many people give up their own, their energy, their whatever to someone else that doesn't even know your body. Like you yourself are the only people that know what your body's truly doing.
Right,
like,
and I think that it's an amazing...
I'm not downplaying doctors. I have lots of family members that are doctors. I'm not saying all doctors are bad, but...
Right, and there's some amazing doctors, but I think if you have a doctor...
But they're a tool. They're there to help you. They're not there to make the decision for you. Like, in the end of the day, it's you, it's your body, your energy. You know what's going on.
Right, and if you don't feel like your doctor is on your team, then maybe you need to find a different doctor.
I mean, and like you said, hindsight, we were... I don't know how many years ago that was, but we were younger. We didn't know, you know, we maybe jumped to conclusions a little bit, but like if this were to happen today, I think we would have took a different, way different approach.
Right. Yeah. And so more than anything, it's about learning from the experiences and There's a lot of people that'll say, you know, well, I don't have time to research every little thing. If my doctor says to take it, then I'm going to. And I just kind of cringe because I just think we have to be more self-aware than that. We can't just give our power over. Yeah. I think if you have a doctor you trust and they suggest something, then you need to have questions.
Well, trust them. Take their suggestion and then research it yourself.
Well, and also, you know, be willing to research and then present questions. What are your thoughts on this? What about this side effect? Because no one warned me about how difficult my antidepressant would be as far as to get off of it.
I don't, maybe it's a little too woo-woo for some people, but I think trust your intuition is enough. Like, I think take their advice and then see how it feels and see if it's the right fit. I mean, that's what I would personally do.
Right. And as far as that goes, I do think we have an intuitive compass, if you will. Mm-hmm. And when you think about taking an action or going a direction, you have a nudge that feels either right or just kind of off, and you can't always explain it.
So it's either a hell yeah or a hell no. That's not to your health. That's more of a business thing.
Right. But, that's more of a business thing for sure. Anyway, so yeah, I get kind of worked up about this, and it all kind of came up because I had a doctor's appointment yesterday for my thyroid because it had been a year since I had been in. And so, you know, you had presented the idea of maybe talking about this since it's not my favorite thing to talk about because I feel like there's definitely some healing that's still going on there, some emotional wounds that I am going through and processing. And I don't want to say like, oh, I don't want to talk about it and run away from it. But on the other hand, I do truly believe that what we talk about, we bring about. And you and I have talked about this concept that you basically rewrite your story each time you think about a memory. And so how do I want to think about this in a way that truly serves me and not in a way that ignites panic and anxiety?
I was presented with a different kind of way of approaching that today. What if the experience you had, you needed that experience, you needed that contrast, you needed that to happen to wake you up, to do whatever. What if you needed it at that time? But what if now you can choose just to forget that and change your past? Decide that it served its purpose and now you're done with it.
Right, or be willing to be open to more subtle nudges. Like, I'm listening. I don't need a huge, you know, momentous wake-up call. I'm good with just a slight nudge. I'll listen to that, too. Mm-hmm. So I can see what you're saying, too.
It was something different, but I heard someone explain it today, and the way they described it was that they needed that shift, that huge shift. There was no way that they could be prepared to be where they are today if they didn't have that then.
Well, absolutely. Because after that call, you have cancer. I had the worst anxiety and panic attacks of my entire life.
Yeah. And it rippled for years.
Right. But the courage it takes to start your own company that creates probiotics for mood and the passion and the desire to help people, it wouldn't have been as strong if it weren't for that dark night of the soul
and that was his argument is you should go, not you, but people should go back and appreciate those things, even though they're so painful and so hard. And there's probably many parts of you wish they didn't happen, but they did. And when you appreciate them, then you can make something good from it.
Right. I think there's a term, it's also known as reframing. Basically, you can retell the story in a way that serves you better. Instead of reliving it as this happened to me and this happened to me and this happened to me, instead of this happened for me, and here's what I learned from it, and I probably maybe might not have learned it if it wasn't such a strong lesson, but I really did learn it. I mean, you heard that saying that the lesson will keep presenting itself until you learn it. And so I was committed to, okay, I learned it. That's good. Peace out on that lesson. And there were still lots of, like I said, triggering kind of wounds about a mistrust in the medical field. And it was you who basically helped to calm that mistrust by telling me that I didn't need to trust anyone in the medical field. I just needed to trust myself and the decisions that I made based on their input. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I was right. You're right. Whatever, that you do need to trust yourself, but it's kind of hard when you're in that moment. And there's not someone outside saying, saying that, like.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to foster a mistrust in other people's connection to the medical industry. I'm actually just being vulnerable and sharing my anxiety, yeah, my triggers, my experience. And this is something I've had to overcome. And it's rippled over into so many areas. Whenever I have a minor ailment and my mind catastrophizes, is it catastrophizes?
It sounds good, but I don't think it's right. I don't know, actually.
Anyway, and it makes, you know, oh, what if, oh, is this cancer? Is that cancer? And it never really even was cancer. And so I do know that there was a lot of healing that needed to take place after that. But I was bound and determined to make something of that suffering and to create something out of it and to help other people who were also suffering, because it's no fun. And I do believe that if we can use it, then it was all kind of just part of the beautiful journey and not something that happened to me, but something that happened for me.
What do you think about suffering as a choice and pain is an experience?
I think pain is inevitable and suffering is a choice.
Yeah.
And so the suffering, what we're referring to is the identification with the mind. And that was the worst of all of my issues. It wasn't a physical surgery that I had to overcome that was difficult, even though I had someone lovingly calling me Frankenneck after I was done.
Who would talk to a human being that way?
Right? Or who insisted in my sleep I was oinking once I started taking my NDT.
I don't know. Anyone that would.
Anyone who would. Right. The love of their life like that, right?
Hmm.
So none of the problems were physical. They were all mental. The weight of the stress of the stories I was telling, the imagined outcomes that, you know, the brain can't tell the difference between a real experience and an imagined experience. And anxiety is living imagined experiences over and over again, and they are not the pretty ones. That is not what anxiety does, unfortunately. Can you imagine if anxiety was, yeah, I have this tendency to just keep imagining the best possible things happening to me. No, that's not what anxiety is. It's the worst possible case scenario. Woo, what's going on? Is the show over?
Shit. Some technical difficulties there. Sorry.
What is that? Why did it do that?
I don't know.
Anyway, no, that's not what anxiety is. It's a worst case scenario. It's a survival mechanism of the brain to help basically prepare you in case this happens. How could I handle it?
Well, the worst case scenario, because if you can survive the worst case scenario, there's a likelihood you'll survive the rest as well.
Right. Yeah. But it's not really beneficial and it's not really serving us and it's not healthy or helpful. Instead, it just keeps us stuck and it makes it very hard to create and show up in the world the way you want to. And so,
but those stories sneak in though, right? I mean, it's not like you sit down and say, okay, I'm ready to play the stories. They mm-hmm. just kind of sneak in there. And like me personally, I can, middle of the day, like, whoa, I've been telling this story all day long. Stop. Just mm-hmm. stop.
Right. Or they'll just sneak in because something will trigger it or cause you to think that. But then you go into a loop of it and you add more evidence to it.
But I think you said something about this. Like, if you catch it, like what I just described, I would catch it like at noon. I would catch that I've been in the story loop all morning long.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you catch it is, if you just catch one a day, is enough. It's enough awareness that, hey, this is not normal. And then if you can do it twice the next day and then work your way up, and eventually you don't tell the stories, right?
Mm-hmm. Or you're going to always tell a story.
That's right, yeah.
There's always going to be stories being told. I think that's a really cool thing about meditation and mindfulness, because you are detaching from stories and just watching them. But if you are going to intentionally try to set the pace in another direction, you're going to choose to tell a different, better, lighter, more energizing story. And so that's kind of what we're talking about, even with the reframing. Let's say you have a painful experience. Well, is the experience painful, or is the story you're telling about it painful? Because the experience could have been the most beautiful gift. And if you bring that presence to it and you bring your appreciation to it, and then you learn how to tell the story in a different way about it, you will shift your emotions up. You will elevate how you feel based on the story you tell.
You know, the craziest thing for me is thinking about the event itself, the action itself, is neutral.
Right.
And that no matter what ends up happening is neutral. The only time it goes good or bad is when you personally observe it and you think it's this way.
Mm-hmm. The fact is, my doctor called and said I had cancer.
Yep.
And then my thoughts and the stories that came after that
is what
were
made it, yeah,
the suffering.
Which is empowering because you're full control, and it's also kind of freaky because you did it to yourself.
Right. Like, right. And I mean, it is. It's so wild the way that the impact our minds can have. And so it just really, it really makes you think, is it worth my time to stop and meditate for 5 minutes if it helps me to hone this powerful machine? Instead of being used by this machine, I want to direct it into the ways that is most useful for me.
Or what if you just stop and just feel good for no reason? Like, what if you decide, I'm going to feel good today, and you don't have to have a reason, you just feel good.
Right. But there's an argument. Mm-hmm. I play around with this all the time in my head. Chicken or egg, chicken or egg. The thought is, I don't have to have a reason to feel good. And so you're like, dang straight, I feel good. Mm-hmm. So there's an argument that there's always a thought going on in the back of your mind. But I don't have to have a thought to feel good is a pretty empowering thought.
No, I guess where I'm coming from is, like, sometimes when I'm feeling down, I think I'm this down. There's no way I can just feel good because I'm so far away, and to be able to make that, close that gap, that's too far.
Right.
So I'm just going to feel a little bit bad. That way I can work my way up. And the truth is, you can just feel good. You don't have to, you can make the biggest jump. You don't have to work your way into it.
But it's the belief that it's too far of a jump for me.
Yeah.
And so if you have a belief that in the power of a breakthrough, that a breakthrough can happen in a millisecond, that you can be completely sad 1 minute, which is okay. It's all right to feel sad sometimes. But if you're tired of feeling sad and you're ready to feel better, you can really say, I believe that in 1 millisecond I can feel better. Sorry, I just got a little distracted because I realized that this episode is supposed to be about being your own advocate. And you should be your own advocate, and you will be your own advocate if you prioritize your mental, physical, and spiritual health, which is what we're kind of talking about. See? Full circle.
Boom.
Boom. Nailed it. Whew. All right. Well, our kids are home, so it's only a matter of time before we have someone shouting or needing us. So we should probably wrap this show up. What do you think?
I think they should be their own advocate.
Well, truth.
Yep.
They are. Who is this episode brought to them by?
Well, probably by Bifidus, I would assume.
Bifidus Mood Boost. This
probiotic. Or Bifidus, if you will.
This probiotic is climbing the charts. I'm so excited about it because I created it secondly. It was the second probiotic I created. Mood Boosting Probiotic was the first one with 9 different strains and the prebiotic GOS. But Bifidus came out as basically this second runner-up for some people who had some issues, not digestive issues necessarily, but some histamine issues, D-lactate issues, and I wanted to create something that they could use. And so I just went straight to work on creating this, not really knowing. I had like 2 or 3 people tell me they needed this. So I was kind of taking a risk, but I had the feeling that if a handful of people were dealing with it, more people were as well. And slowly it's been getting these amazing reviews of people who are sharing how much they love this probiotic and how much it's changed their life because it's really helped to heal the digestive issues, not to mention some of those mood benefits. So you can go check that out on our website today. Thanks for listening and have an amazing week. And don't forget to be your own advocate.